chapter 28. Joshua's ministry was 3 years of preaching, sometimes three times a day. And although there were some high and low points, I could never remember the sermons word for word. But here's the gist of almost every sermon I ever heard Joshua give. You should be nice to people, even creeps. And if you, A, believe that Joshua was the son of God, and B, he had come to save you from sin, and C, acknowledge the Holy Spirit within you, became as a little child, he would say, and D, didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost, CC, then you would E, live forever, F, someplace nice, G, probably heaven. However, if you H, sinned, and or I, were a hypocrite, and or J, valued things over people, and K, didn't do A, B, C, and D, then you were L, fucked. Which is the message that Joshua's father had given him so many years ago, and which seemed, at the time, succinct to the point of rudeness, but made more sense after you listened to a few hundred sermons. That's what he taught. That's what we learned. That's what we passed on to the people in the towns of Galilee. Not everybody was good at it, however, and some seemed to miss the point altogether. One day, Joshua, Maggie, and I returned from preaching in Cana to find Bartholomew sitting by the synagogue at Capernaum preaching the gospel to a semicircle of dogs that sat around him. The dogs seemed spellbound. But then, Bart was wearing a flank steak as a hat, so I'm not sure it was his speaking skills that held their attention. Joshua snatched the steak off Bartholomew's head and tossed it into the street, where a dozen dogs suddenly found their faith. "Bart! Bart! Bart!" Josh said as he shook the big man by the shoulders. "Don't give what's holy to dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine. You're wasting the word."
"I don't have any pearls. I am slave to no possessions."
"It's a metaphor, Bart," Joshua said, deadpan. "It means don't give the word to those who aren't ready to receive it."
"You mean like when you drowned the swine in Decapolis? They weren't ready for it?"
Joshua looked at me for help. I shrugged. Maggie said, "That's exactly right, Bart. You got it."
"Oh, why didn't you say so?" Bart said. "Okay, guys, we're off to preach the word in Magdala."
He climbed to his feet and led his pack of disciples toward the lake. Joshua looked at Maggie. "That's not what I meant at all." "Yes, it is," she said. Then she took off to find Joanna and Susanna, two women who had joined us and were learning to preach the gospel. "That's not what I meant," Joshua said to me. "Have you ever won an argument with her?" He shook his head. "Then say amen, and let's go see what Peter's wife has cooked up." The disciples were gathered around outside of Peter's house, sitting on the logs we had arranged in a circle around a fire pit. They were all looking down and seemed to be caught in some glum prayer. Even Matthew was there, when he should have been at his job collecting taxes in Magdala. "What's wrong?" asked Joshua.
"John the Baptist is dead," said Philip.
"What?" Joshua sat down on the log next to Peter and leaned against him.
"We just saw Bartholomew," I said. "He didn't say anything about it."
"We just found out," said Andrew. "Matthew just brought the news from Tiberias."
It was the first time since he joined us that I'd seen Matthew without the light of enthusiasm in his face. He might have aged 10 years in the last few hours.
"Herod had him beheaded," he said.
"I thought Herod was afraid of John," I said. It was rumored that Herod had kept John alive because he actually believed him to be the Messiah and was afraid of the wrath of God should the holy man perish.
"It was at the request of his stepdaughter," said Matthew. "John was killed at the behest of a teenage slut."
"Well, geez, if he wasn't dead already, the irony would have killed him," I said.
Joshua stared into the dirt before him. Thinking or praying, I couldn't tell. Finally, he said, "John's followers will be like babes in the wilderness."
"Thirsty?" guessed Nathaniel. "Hungry?" guessed Peter. "Horny?" guessed Thomas.
No, you dumb fucks. Lost. They'll be lost, I said. Jeez.
Joshua stood up. Philip, Thaddeus, go to Judea. Tell John's followers that they are welcome here. Tell them that John's work is not lost. Bring them here.
But Master, Judas said, John has thousands of followers. If they come here, how will we feed them?
He's new, I explained.
The next day was the Sabbath, and in the morning, as we all headed to the synagogue, an old man in fine clothes ran out of the bushes and threw himself at Joshua's feet.
Oh, Rabbi, he wailed, I am the mayor of Magdala. My youngest daughter has died. People say that you can heal the sick and raise the dead. Will you help me?
Joshua looked around. A half dozen local Pharisees watched us from different points around the village. Joshua turned to Peter. Take the word to the synagogue today. I am going to help this man.
Thank you, Rabbi.
The rich man gushed. He hurried off and waved for us to follow.
Where are you taking us? I asked.
Only as far as Magdala, he said.
To Joshua, I said, that's farther than the Sabbath's journey allows.
I know, Joshua said.
As we passed through all of the small villages along the coast on the way to Magdala, people came out of their houses and followed us for as long as they dared on a Sabbath. But I could also see the elders, the Pharisees, watching as we went. The mayor's house was large for Magdala, and his daughter had her own sleeping room. He led Joshua into the bedchamber where the girl lay.
Please save her, Rabbi.
Joshua bent down and examined the girl. Go out of here, he said to the old man. Out of the house. When the mayor was gone, Joshua looked at me. She's not dead.
What?
This girl is sleeping. Maybe they've given her some strong wine or some sleeping powder, but she is not dead. So this is a trap?
I didn't see this one coming either, Joshua said. They expect me to claim that I raised her from the dead, healed her when she's only sleeping. Blasphemy and healing on the Sabbath.
Let me raise her from the dead then. I mean, I can do this one if she's only sleeping.
They'll blame me for whatever you do as well. You may be their target too. The local Pharisees didn't devise this themselves.
Jachin?
Josh nodded.
Go get the old man and gather as many witnesses as you can, Pharisees as well. Make a ruckus. When I had about 50 people gathered in and around the house, Joshua announced,
This girl isn't dead. She's sleeping, you foolish old man.
Joshua shook the girl and she sat up, rubbing her eyes.
Keep watch on your strong wine, old man. Rejoice that you have not lost your daughter, but grieve that you have broken the Sabbath for your ignorance.
Then Joshua stormed out, and I followed him. When we were a ways down the street, he said, Do you think they bought it?
Nope, I said.
Me either, Joshua said.